The Holy Gospel according to John in the 20th chapter. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he, Thomas, said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and I put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May the Holy Spirit, who is breathed over and through each of us, be present with you today, in your doubts and in your certainties. Amen. The author of the Gospel of John presents for us another Easter story and the familiar character of Doubting Thomas. Now I'm going to say I want to rename Thomas from Doubting to Lutheran Thomas, the first in a long line of Lutherans who live in the midst of paradox, deep faithfulness to Christ Jesus of the Scripture, and of course the Lutheran tradition of causing trouble on purpose. Holy trouble on purpose. Wink, wink. If I had not been born into a Lutheran family, I believe I would have found my way to Lutheranism, because Lutheran theology is so open to doubt and the consideration of the gray areas. You know, the real world that we live in. You see, in the ancient traditions, before the Enlightenment came on the scene and pushed everything into the mind and thinking space, there was more of an acceptance of doubt and insecurity and awkwardness. In fact, some were so bold as to believe that only by walking on the very ungroomed pathway of doubt was deep faith ever in the hopes of being attained. The so-called problem with doubt is a modern dilemma, my friends. We have created that for ourselves out of our advancement in loving to think our way out of everything. We also have freedom to turn that upside down if we are brave enough to do so. Luther said it wonderfully in his ideas of the freedom of faith and the freedom of conscience, the two things that often snatch us away from ourselves and place us outside of ourselves in order to rest and rely on the promise of the truth of God instead. Martin says it this way, quote, "Christ has set us free, not for political freedom or a freedom of the flesh, but for a theological or spiritual freedom, that is to make our conscience free and for us to be joyfully unafraid," unquote. Joyfully unafraid. That is a life I want to live. That is something to be grateful for, to be gifted, isn't it? Especially for us, the freewheeling, beer and coffee drinking sinners and saints of Luther's fold. So our air quote Lutheran brother Thomas was the first recipient of this deeper understanding of real life belief and faith. You see, I read this story less as an accusation of doubting and more as a story of gratitude for it. We must remember that the text says that Thomas was not there the week before, when Jesus first appeared in that locked upper room, when he breathed the Holy Spirit out upon the disciples. In a way, Thomas came late to this resurrection reveal party. Kind of like a good Lutheran would, right? Showing up to worship 5 minutes into the start. So no wonder Thomas needed more time to be brought up to speed. And what I love is that Jesus was more than happy to give him what he needed, without question, and almost with a premonition of understanding. When have you asked for more from the Lord? Has doubt ever caused you to ask, could this be true? Could this be the reality? Could it actually be all of that? Well, then I think that the label of doubting, I mean Lutheran, just happens to be a good fit for you as well. You see, Thomas wants to probe the miracle for himself. He needs a bit more. And Jesus gave to Thomas what he needed. I connect with that need because I'm a true science nerd and a practical person. Practicality, in fact, is one of my spiritual gifts. Ask my mom how much I can raise my anxiety in the effort of being more concrete and sequential and in the need of knowing. I'm sure she'll tell you. Thomas and I, we're kindred spirits for sure. I often have to ask Jesus to show me as well, and he's been the one to constantly break the chains holding me back. He has been the one to stand in the breach with me during darkness, pain, and suffering. He's healed wounds in spite of my doubt or want of a cure instead. Every doubt that comes sneaking back in is met not with the sword of truth. It is met with the open cloak and warm embrace of love, understanding, acceptance, and grace. I was struck this week by a story that Will Smith wrote about in his memoir, right? Will Smith of all people, another more recent troublemaker, it seems. Maybe Will is Lutheran too. He wrote that his grandmother taught him that when it came to faith, there were two types of people in the world. One group holds on to faith. They hold on tightly, and they're rested in that. And the other group has faith because they have had revelation. Now he shares that his grandmother was a member of the revelation group, and it influenced how she lived her entire life and how it influenced and touched him as well. I think that Thomas could be included in this revelation group because in having his doubts addressed in the way they needed to be addressed and not in how others thought they should be addressed, he proclaims the simple and yet all-powerful confession, "My Lord and my God." There it is. Everything that we need. 5 words confessed and believed in the middle of our doubting faith. My Lord and my God. Those who have had experiences such as Grandma Smith and Thomas, they can't help but live out their testimony and witness. We know these people, don't we? We can smell them. We can feel them. We love to be in their presence. I think these people of the Revelation understand this passage out of John in a very deep and yet beautifully simple way. They seem to understand and not resist that Jesus is gone bodily, yes, but is present in the Paraclete, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit who was breathed over the disciples. They seem to understand that Jesus is present in our need to experience him as the timeless word that was spoken before the world was created, beyond even the ability to doubt in the first place, and yet as a result of that doubt straight out. They seem to understand that for some of us, me included, we must feel, see, understand, experience his presence in the created world around us, in the Creator's work, from the chickens to the stars. Brothers and sisters, we have a Savior then who walks through closed doors to bring his peace to us. We have a Savior who breathes the Spirit upon us, shows us his wounds, lets us stick our fingers in them if that is what we need to believe. We have a Savior who has modeled for us an alternative way to live in this world, in the revelation of the promise of the next world, the New Jerusalem. Let's be joyful and unafraid then in response to these wondrous gifts. Let's receive the very breath of Jesus in the form of the Holy Spirit over every inch of our bodies. Let's come to believe in a form of faith, a faith that in the seen and in the not seen is the power. Let's doubt ourselves right into a robust, stone-rolling, empty tomb, salvation flowing down like water all over us type of faith. Alive and kicking in this world and on into the next, spoken into being by Jesus himself for sinners and saints just like you and me and Thomas. Let the church say, Amen. Thanks be to God.